cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's Day at Living Springs. When the word follow comes up, I had a little note to put in the bulletin that the end of that word means to be low. Now, it doesn't mean to debase yourself. It means to yield. To follow him, he must be first. Isn't that correct? Aren't you glad he's a great leader? Aren't you glad he's been there already? Aren't you glad he paves the way? I know I'm glad. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, for your goodness and your mercy is everlasting. And Lord, your word said that your mercies are new every day. So Lord, we pray today for the mercies that you alone have prepared for this hour. Lord God, they are unique. They are individual. And they are straight from the throne of God to your people. And Father, I pray that you would be glorified in this time as we gather, that you'd be with those that need your physical touch, that you'd be with those that need any other request in their life, and mainly, Lord God, that we would know that you are somebody to follow. You're the only one to follow, because you're the only one that's going to lead us into the presence of paradise. Father, I thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you alone would be exalted as we've gathered to worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can read the announcements that are in the bulletin. But today is a very special day. You didn't know that, but you could almost tell by somebody that's wearing a corsage. That she's pretty special. Today is Jan Kunze's birthday, and she's getting younger every year. Let's sing to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jan. Happy birthday.
Sealed with a kiss. How lovely. And then other birthdays this week. Marcella's is Wednesday, and so is Tina's. The bulletin is incorrect on that, but that just means she has a couple more days to celebrate it. So with that in mind, greet each other this morning.
Thank you.
Please stand for a great hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Hold me and make.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the songs of the ages, the worship that comes from the throne of God and then returns there, because, Lord, that is its final destination. And we thank you, Lord God, for the words and the inspiration that you have given to these writers. Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Lord, our greatest worship is always and ever to focus on you, because you are the source of all life, of all healing, of all victory, Lord God. And I thank you so much for that. And you are the author of this fabulous, wonderful word that is a living word. May its life flow into us. May it change us, Lord, into the reflection of our great God and Savior. Bless now, I pray, your word upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's going to be a couple of verses that I'm going to use this morning. He hasn't even heard me yet. But what we're going to do is I have asked Jeremy to come and to read one of the portions of the word this morning, Psalm 37, verses 3 to 6. Please stand to honor the word of God.
Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him. He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the just of your cause like the noonday sun.
Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message is Catch in the Mitt. I've asked Dave to put another thing up on the deal here. This mitt, baseball mitt, belongs to somebody that most of you probably have heard of. Pretty popular person. Somebody very endearing to the great, what they call America's pastime, baseball. How many like baseball? Yeah. This is Yogi Berra's. And I wonder how many people think he lives in Jellystone. 15 times an All-Star. 14 World Series. He had the most games as a catcher, which was 63, and he had 71 hits. 10 times on the winning team. He was first at bats, first in doubles, and one of the few managers to win pennants in both the American League and the National League. Now, this isn't bad for a guy who was turned down by the Cardinals' general manager, Branch Rickey, because he didn't want to give him $500 that they gave Joe Garagiola. Here's what he said about Yogi. He'd never make anything more than a AAA ball player at best. Well, then, I guess a gentleman who was Leo Brown, he was the Yankee scout, he disagreed and thought Yogi Berra had a future in baseball. Who was right? A mitt. A mitt is something, it's a defensive piece of equipment that is used to catch, to field, and all of those things. It kind of reminds me of the armor of God. Most of it is defensive. Do you know that? Only the Word of God is the offensive weapon of the Holy Spirit. And this mitt helped him out a lot. Put him in the Hall of Fame. I want to talk today about a couple other mitts. that help us in the game of life. And I'm using that imagery for you. It's not that any of us have a dome over us or anything like that, but to a degree we're in the game of life. And so I'm going to give you three myths that are going to help in this life we live. And I want you to turn to Psalm 51 first, because the first myth is admit. Admit. It can be used more than one way, of course. It is a word that means we acknowledge ourselves, our sin, to reveal. It also means to gain access. When you go into the ballpark, what do they give you? An admittance ticket, right? The only difference is this time Jesus paid the price, got us into the park. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad he paid it? You got up to the window and it said, you're in. Paid in full. So we find in Psalm 51, it's actually one of the great portions of Scripture. You know why? Because the Lord had to do heart surgery on King David. And when God does surgery, he does it deep and he does it well. Here's a man who's the king, right? And he is supposed to be out with his army, his followers, into battle. And the history of this portion in 2 Samuel 11 says he wasn't there. David didn't go with. What David did was go to a rooftop. Was he going to look for someone? We don't know what his intent was, but we know what he found, don't we? He found Bathsheba. He was supposed to be in battle. Instead, he ended up with a great battle of his own. Horrible battle. The name Bathsheba, by the way, means the daughter of an oath. Now, when he saw her, I realized what his visual would have thought. But just by her name alone, when he realized and found out her name, he should have said, my oath, I have an oath to God. I have an oath to my family. I have an oath to my nation. He didn't do that. He ignored that. And so we come into this chapter, which is the poetic part of it, and God has to speak to him. How many know God knows how to get our attention? I'll tell you. You know when God's talked to you. In the first verse, it says, be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. Thou art justified when you speak. The Lord brought a prophet, Nathan, to David to point it out to him. And he said, thou art the man, thou art the woman, when he gave him a parable. He talked to him similar to the way Jesus talked to people, gave him a story. But here he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Do you know that all sin is against God, first and foremost? Now, his sin here was against Bathsheba, really, and it's also against her husband. But primarily, it was against God himself. So the word admit means to acknowledge, to confess, and to have an awareness. He says here, it's ever before me. It's ever before me. You ever had a thought that's just always before you and it never goes away? It doesn't seem to go away? That's what sin does. It stays in your mind. And let me tell you something. God's not going to judge us for the sins of other people. He's not going to judge you for what somebody else has done to you. He'll heal you from that, but he won't judge you for it. But he will deal with us for our own behavior. That's what God does. That's how you know if it's true guilt by the Holy Spirit or if it's shame that the enemy brings to you. Because the Lord will deal with you and he'll deal with me. Admittance is getting into the game. It's how we get saved, isn't it? We admit we're a sinner. We admit we can't save ourselves. And there are times in the game of life, there's times in our own personal walk where we get stalled. And we need to admit our place, not anyone else's. But we have to admit it to God. That's how we get into the arena. The second mit is submit. And I want you to turn in the back to James, the fourth chapter. James is the half-brother of Jesus. So one would think he would know a little bit about submitting to somebody who is stronger and with greater authority than you have. But really, the earthly family of Jesus, with the exception of his mother, didn't accept him until after the resurrection. That's when they decided to follow him. So James here, great scripture, James 4, 7th verse, submit, therefore, to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How many have ever tried to resist the devil without submitting first to God? You ever tried it? No, it doesn't. Devil throw you all over this world. So here we have the word submit. And the word means to give over or to yield to the authority or power of another. You know, when a soldier knows they're going to be captured, what do? They put a white flag. Do they just kind of put it up a little? No, you put it all the way up. Make sure everybody sees it so nobody shoots you. You can't yield a little bit. Because if you don't yield completely, you're not yielding at all. Truthfully. That's really the scripture, what it means. In the Middle English, the word sub means to yield and to go down. It's like a submarine. Okay, you go down. And then the word mit actually means to go forward. You can't go forward unless you go under, unless you yield to one who is stronger, which in this case, of course, is Jesus Christ. When I was reading some about Yogi Berra, I read that he was the first one to put his finger outside of the mitt because you don't see any place for the fingers in there. So probably to get a better grab, I'm guessing, and have better ability. You know what happens when we submit to God? We see the finger of God. How many want to see the finger of God? Boy, I'll tell you, when I think of the same finger that wrote on the tablets and then wrote in the sand in the New Testament, wouldn't you love to compare those two? They're the same handwriting. I want to see the finger of God. I want to see his fingerprints. And so he says here to submit yourself. You can't submit someone else. You can only submit yourself. You can only yield yourself. And this word is also in the term here in James. It is a military term. And we see a lot of military terms in the New Testament because God is the commander in chief. But then it says, submit to God and then resist the devil. And resist means, of course, to pull away from. You will have the power to resist the devil if you're in submission to God, because it'll be God's power that fights him, and he won't be able to do anything to you. And actually, the real rendering of that means this. I love this. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee as if in terror. Don't you love to see the devil in terror for once? Remember, he's already seen the handwriting on the wall. He knows his future. He does not want to concentrate on his future. He wants to concentrate on keeping you and me from our future. That's what he wants to do. I was reading an article in the Life magazine, the Wesleyan here, of Shonda Dykoff, who is a ministry student at Asbury Theological Seminary, and she said, I heard it once said that when we are fully engulfed with Christ, we are like a drop of red dye in water. Though the water is still fully present, it is overpowered by the dye. Hearing this, the Lord showed me that I do not lose my identity. in my surrendering to his will. I simply surrender my independence to be engulfed in his holiness. It's probably about 25 years ago or so, I was outside of a church in South Minneapolis where I lived, and some guy was walking up to the church or something, and we got talking, and he said, "Well, I'm just not the Christian personality." And I said, "Really? What's the Christian personality?" I said, "I'm so glad that he saved my soul. My personality will adjust, should adjust, to the Lordship of Christ, but there is no Christian personality. We are to be like Christ." And his rhetoric changed, and we were able to talk some more. When we admit and we come into the game, we are drawn in. When we submit, we have to yield to the rules and to the structure of the game. How many think God's unfair? He really isn't. I'm glad he's not. But the third mit is commit. And we're going to go back to that portion of scripture that Jeremy read earlier. How many are glad Jeremy and Misty are in the church? Thank God. Now I just embarrassed them. Sorry. But commit. In this portion, it's a great portion, where it's talking about to trust in the Lord and to do good and delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, you don't have to tell God your desires because he put them there in the first place. So he already knows them. But he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. What the word commit means, pledge yourself to a position, to bind or obligate yourself. So not only do we come into the game, not only do we yield to the rules or to the structure, but we commit ourselves to the team. What would happen if on the baseball field, some of the players decided, "Nah, I don't want to play for this team right now"? I mean, can you see that? Can you see the chaos? You commit to the team. And the word here, galal, means to roll upon. So it means I'm rolling my whole life upon this individual, meaning to the Lord. And that has to be a total commitment, doesn't it? When Kurt and Jan, and I'll pick on you because it's your birthday, but when you two got married, you committed your entire lives, everything you had, everything you hoped to have. You weren't saying, "Oh, I'm keeping this for myself," because that's not the vows. That's not your commitment. And God has sustained it all these wonderful years. To commit, to roll it upon the Lord. Aren't you glad you don't just roll the sins on the Lord? You roll yourself. He gets rid of the sin. He keeps you. That's how glorious he is. I was teaching on Wednesday night on one of my one-word wonders, on the word fight, which is the word strategy. And in that scripture, it was talking about, I commit this to you, O Timothy. And that word has a little word in it called para, P-A-R-A. And it means to come along the side of. It is the same root word that paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit, when he comes as a comforter to come to your aid and come to my aid. Do you know what commit means? It means not that God's coming to our aid, we're going to his. We're going to go stand by him. Don't you think the Lord is sitting there waiting for people to come and stand for him? This world needs a real beacon of the truth and the life of Christians, and they want for them to stand for Christ. He's waiting for us to stand by his side. He's already stood by ours. It means to pledge our loyalty and entrust something to him. What better thing to trust than your own life, the very life for which he died, the very life he created? That's the third myth. Admit brings you into the game. Submit, you yield to the structure of the game. And commit means we're invested in the game. We're invested in it. And we're going to stand by him. We could go this last Friday. Yogi Berra fell at his home in New Jersey. And because he is on Coumadin, and he had some cuts or something, they had to take him to the hospital, because you have to be careful when you have blood loss, when you're on Coumadin. They got to the hospital, realized he had a hairline fracture in his foot, and so he was not going to be able to make it to Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame, which he looked forward to every year, because, you know, he's one of the big, big head honchos there. Everyone's looking to see Yogi. Boo Boo's not with him. He was going to go on his own. And I thought about that, and I thought, one of the greatest, if not the greatest catcher of all times, could not catch himself. Could not catch himself. That reminded me of the story in the New Testament when Peter and those that were going fishing, this is in John 21, they fished all night. And do you remember what they came up with? Nothing. Here's a professional fisherman, cannot catch a fish. And so Jesus came and said, put the net over here. And when he did that, of course, they couldn't contain the net with the fish, because there was just overabundance. There are moments in our lives, in the game that we're in, where God sees fit. Whether we have a strength, or in our professionalism, or in our lives, that God does not allow us to be able to bring it forward. And we come up with a goose egg. How many have ever had that? The Lord doesn't come and attack your weaknesses. He's going to work on our strengths. Because it's imperative that he alone is the King of Kings. And there are moments when God is going to say, hey, remember, I'm the one who called you. I'm the one who put you in the game. Please listen to me instead of your own ability. What would happen sometimes? We go in our own wisdom, which normally is great because God gives us wisdom. But there are times God says, I'm going to thwart what you're trying to do. And he's not doing it out of cruelty. He's doing it simply, number one, to get a better yield, and number two, to show his lordship. Yogi Berra couldn't catch himself. And I imagine by now he's out of the hospital. But I would guess that that was very difficult for him. How many are glad that underneath are the everlasting arms? I believe with all my heart that God allows things as frustrations on occasion to see, first of all, if we'll look to him, and secondly, if we'll follow him. Because it has to be God in charge. Because if it's a work of the flesh, it won't have eternal dividends. I'm telling you, it's not going to. It may look nice on paper. Hello. It may look nice on paper, but it will not translate to eternity. Not a bit. I don't know about you, but I'd like my life to count for eternity. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. We're in the game of life. We're in the game that is serious, the game of eternal souls. And it's not a game. You know that. I know it. But maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I know Jesus paid my passage in here, and I'm so grateful he did. But I'm stalled. I'm stalled, and I just can't get it moving. Maybe the Holy Spirit would tenderly tell you in your heart today, don't look to someone else. You are the man. You are the woman. There's something in you that needs to be corrected. Come to my lordship. Admit it and leave it behind. God's not looking to terrorize us. He's looking to free us so we can go forward. And if you're here and you have sin in your life, or you have something that you're holding that God wants to hold and get rid of, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to tell the devil to take a hike and to surrender that hand to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you'd say, pray for me. You're here, raise your hand. And if you're here and you'd say, I'm a pretty strong personality, I think, and often I end up fighting with God over who's the Lord, and he has to show me that I need to yield to him. I need to go under voluntarily, because that's the only way I'm going to go forward. Please, Lord, help me. I want to yield my life to you, my understanding to you, my gifts to you. I want to yield it to you, that you can formulate your life through me. And you'd say, pray for me. And you raise your hand to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And then finally, to commit. You know, we're spending a lot of our time in our mind saying, Lord, come to help me, come to my side, come to my aid, when the Lord wants us to make a decision and come to his, and to make a choice for his team. And I'm not necessarily just talking about the church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God, God himself. And you'd say, I'd like to make that move in my heart. Say, Lord, I'll stand for you. I will make that move toward you, because I know you're always there for me. And you'd say, with an upraised hand, that's me. I'm going to commit my life to him. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for every hand and every heart and every life. The important thing, Lord Jesus, for us to know is that we don't want to catch the things of the world. We don't want to catch our own brilliance, because then we're missing yours. And I pray for those that in their heart to admit their place, their situation, and to forsake sin, to forsake whatever may be holding them back, and cast it off, and instead throw themselves upon the mercy of God, because you are a merciful God. And for those, Lord, to yield to you, we all need to yield to you. We need to voluntarily submit and go under, that we come up in fresh resurrection to serve Christ, that it be all of you and none of us. And help us, Lord, as individuals and as a church, to stand by you, to come to the side of God Almighty and make a stand for the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the righteousness that alone belongs to you. And I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that your cleansing stream would go from this place and well up inside of us and flow outside to lift you up and to bring others to Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you today for your word. And I thank you for the continuing work that you are doing in every life. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing the final song, I Surrender All. If you feel an extra need to come to the altar, please do so as we sing this.
I will ever love and trust him in his grace.
thank you today, Lord, that you have brought us, Lord, into the kingdom of your dear Son. And every person, Lord, is valuable. And every life has extraordinary meaning. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would connect us by your hand. You took the whole glove off. And there's nails. And there's...
Thank you.